Chapter 1. The Living Word. Our attitude toward the Word determines the place that God holds in our daily life. The Word should always be the Father speaking to us. It should never be like the message from an ordinary book. It should be as real to you as though the Master stood in the room and spoke to you personally. This Word was designed by the Father to take Jesus' place in His absence. When He says, "The Father Himself loveth you," it is a personal message to your heart. When the Master said again, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and the Father and I will love him and make our home with him," that should be as personal as though you were the only one in the world. It is as though you were sitting at the feet of Jesus and he looked down into your face and said, "The Father and I will come and make our home with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I am going to be your strength. I am going to lend to you my own ability. When weakness comes, remember that I am the strength of your life. When you need finances, remember that I said, 'My Father knoweth that you have need of all these things.'" You can whisper to your own heart, "My Father will supply every need of mine. He knows my needs and loves me. He and I are one." Man's word is usually dead before the printer has finished his work. Few words of man live after a generation. But God's word is different. It is impregnated with the very life of God. It is eternal. Hebrews 4:12 and 13 gives us an illustration. Moffat's translation: "For the Logos of God is a living thing, active and more cutting than any sword with double edge, penetrating to the very division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, scrutinizing the very thoughts and conceptions of the heart. And no created thing is hidden from him. All things lie open and exposed before the eyes of him with whom we have to reckon." This is one of the strangest statements about the Word in Paul's epistles. Notice this 13th verse, that no created thing is hidden from him. Of whom is he speaking? The living Word, the Logos, and all things lie open and exposed before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Word takes on personality. It becomes Christ himself. Our contact with the Master, then, is through his Word. And did you notice the eyes of him? The Word, then, has eyes. It sees our conduct, our attitude toward it. It is a living thing. How deeply that should impress us. I hold in my hands a book with the very life of God in it, a book that scrutinizes my conduct, that judges me, a book that feeds this inner man, my spirit. It imparts faith to my spirit, builds love into it. God's only means of reaching me is through his word, so the word becomes a vital thing. It has been rather difficult for some of us to grasp the fact that during the first century, the Christian church did not have our New Testament. The first epistle that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians was the beginning of the New Testament. It was written 17 years after his conversion. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "Wherefore I also give continual thanks to God, because when you heard from me the spoken word of God, you received it, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, who himself works effectually in you that believe." Conybeare translation. Notice it was the spoken word that was all they had. Whether Paul gave it, or Peter, or John, or any of the apostles, it was God speaking through human lips. It had not yet been put into writing. Now you can better understand Acts 19:20, telling of that great revival at Ephesus. Luke used this expression, "So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed." It was the spoken word. The Pauline revelation was only known to those who had heard him. The other apostles did not have it. They had what the Spirit gave them to meet the emergency of the hour. It is a fact that Christianity is what the Word says about redemption, about the body of Christ, or the new creation. We become Christ-like in the measure that the Word prevails in us. The Word is Christ revealed. The Word is God present with us, speaking the living message of the loving Father God. The Word is always now. It is His Word to me today. It is His voice, His last message. It becomes a living thing in my heart as I lovingly act upon it. It becomes a living thing on the lips of love. It has no power on the lips of those whose lives are out of fellowship with Him, who live in the reason realm. His word makes our ministry limitless. His word is what He is. It is the mind of the Father. It is the will of the Father. It shows the way to the Father. The word is the Father speaking. You notice that it is always in the present tense. The word is the bread of heaven, food for our spirits. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy words were unto me a joy and rejoicing of my heart. Job tells us how precious the word is to him. Job 23:12, I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured up the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When a child of God looks upon the word as Job did, then it becomes a reality in his daily life. Job had no written word. He had the word spoken by angels. We have the written word. We have it printed in many forms, so we may carry it in our pocket. How little we've appreciated the value of his message. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. That living word that he sent was Jesus. Mark 16:19-20, so when the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Notice that the Lord worked with them. I believe that a revival would break out almost anywhere if the Lord worked with those who preach, and if the word was as real to them as the spoken word was real to the early church. But the word of man has gained the ascendancy and has more authority than his word has today. He confirms the word today everywhere that it is preached. I want you to notice how the Father makes the word good in the lives of men and women as they dare act upon it. In the closing sentence of the Gospel of Matthew, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, the believer can be sure that though he be forsaken by all others, there is one who will stand by him. But the thing that has most deeply impressed my heart is the reality of God in the Word. He is not only in the Word, but he breathes his very life as through it it is unfolded. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He is in the midst of them in the Word. Jesus said, if ye love me, the Father and I will come and make our home with you. John 14:23. If we could only realize that when we open the Word, it is a living thing we are implanting in the hearts of men. The Word is God present with us, speaking the living message of the living Father God. It is the now word from Him to me. It is His voice. It becomes a living thing in the heart of faith. In Romans 10:8, it is called the Word of faith. It is His Word that gives birth to faith in the believer. It is God's faith expressed. You see, he is a faith God, and he always uses words to do things. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God. Hear him whisper, by myself have I sworn. Genesis 22:16, he was in the word was a part of him. You can't separate a man from his words, neither can you separate the Father from his words. How it thrilled me when I read in Hebrews 7:22, that Jesus is the surety of the new covenant. The new covenant is the Word, and He is the surety of the Word. The Word was a living fact when Jesus spoke it. It is still a living fact. Jesus was a part of all He said. He and His Word were one. Jesus is just as real now as He was the day He arose from the dead. His Word is just as real now as when He inspired John or Peter or Paul to write it. What He said was a part of Himself. Reality throbs in it, flows through it, lives in it. The Word was. The Word is now. What it was then, here are some other assurances. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, who can be against you? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Him who strengtheneth me. Psalm 27:1, God is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, My help cometh from the Lord. Psalm 84:5, My strength is in him. Psalm 62:5 through 8, God is my refuge. These are living words, and as you feed on them, they build you up. The knowledge of what Christ is and has done for you personally builds faith in you. When I turn to the Word and read it as his message to me, he confirms that message in my life. He confirmed the covenant made with Abraham. He confirmed the word that Jesus spoke through the apostles. Jesus said in John 14:15, If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. What was his commandment? That we love one another. He that loveth me and keepeth my word, he it is, you see, that the Father loves. Here are some other facts that we ought to remember. John 16:8 and 9. When he, the Spirit, is come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go unto the Father, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. What is going to convince the world? Words in the lips of faith. Only the living word in the lips of faith can take the place of an absent Christ. The word talks to us. It takes the place of Jesus. The word is the Father speaking to us now. It has the same authority that it would have if the Master stood in the room and spoke it. Faith in the Father is faith in his word. The word takes on all that our faith demands. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. As you consider the word and act upon it, it will become real to you. This book, The Living Word, has God in it. The word takes the place of the unseen Jesus. Meditation in the word is like a visit with Jesus. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua to meditate in the word day and night, in other words, to live in it. Jesus said in John 8:31, Abide in my word. The word gets into your blood, into your system, and becomes a part of you. The word is inspired. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, as they were borne along in their spirit life. God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Every word that God speaks has life in it. Remember Hebrews 4:12, the Logos of God is a living thing. It is not like man's word, which die after a generation. God's word lives. I love to think of it as the prevailing word, as it was in Ephesus, how it ruled over that wicked city. Today, the Logos of God is ruling in the hearts of those who yield to its sway. The word has the authority of God in it now. It has the righteousness of God in it. It has recreating power for the unsaved. It has healing power for the sick. It is the very bread of heaven to the hungry in spirit. I wish that it could be like this, that when you pick up the word, it will mean that God is present with you and that the word is his attitude toward you now. It is his attitude toward sin, toward redemption, toward righteousness, toward eternal life, toward the sons and daughters of God. That is the Father's attitude toward all the issues of life. My word is my will. The word is the will of the Father. God watches over his word. What God says is, becomes. God is truth, so I will be true. God is light, so I will walk in the light. You see, we learn to act on the word as we act on the word of a banker or a lawyer in some crisis in our life. I wonder if you ever realized that the Father is jealous over his word. He never set a low estimate upon it. He holds it in the highest regard. If he said it, that ends it. To his enemies, it is but paper and ink. But to the lovers, it is life and health. It is joy unspeakable. The preaching that produces little conviction is caused by the word not having been in the heart of the teacher. We are to be sowers of the word. Jesus gave us in Matthew 13 a marvelous picture of the art of preaching. It is sowing the word. It falls upon all kinds of hearts, but the irrigation of the soil is dependent upon the sower. If we irrigate it with prayer, sometimes with tears, it is bound to bring forth a harvest. Some of us forget the word in hard places. Unconsciously, we walk by sight. The senses take the reality away from the word. But as the spirit gains the ascendancy over the senses, the word once more has its place. Remember, your word is you. You must learn to say, I gave my word, I must keep it, no matter what it costs. If your word is of no value, you will reason that the word of God is of no value. I have found that unbelief in the word of God is largely because people's lack of faith in their own word. If you want to build the highest type of faith, be a faithful person yourself. Believe in your own word. Establish a reputation for truth. Then the word will be that to you in your life. Here are some little facts that may mean much to your life. The word is on my hands. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to act upon it? Let it govern my life? Or will I just study it? Will I sit in the Bible class and study it and then go back to my room and study it but not live it? Not let it become a part of my life, but just an intellectual exercise? The Word is taking the master's place in my life. What I do with the Word will determine what the Word will do to me one of these days. The Word will work in me, building Jesus' life in me, building life, faith, love, grace, and strength into me, or else it will judge me in the last day. What will it do for me? It will work for me. If I preach it and live it, it will work for me. It will reveal the very riches of my inheritance to me. It will give me courage to enter into and enjoy my inheritance. It will build the master's steadfastness into me. The very character of Christ will be built into me, and only he knows what it will do through me. It has saved the lost. It has healed the sick. It has built faith and love in multitudes. Let the word of Christ then dwell in you richly. You can so soak in the word, and the word so soak in you, that your word and God's word become blended into one. It will be your language and your words, but it will be his word. His word in you becomes a part of you. It has made you what you are. It will make others like you. You are lost in the word, but the word is found in you. The word became flesh once. It is becoming spirit in your spirit. The word dwells richly in your practice, in your conversation, in your prayer, in your convictions. You are using the word to cast out diseases, to bring money to people, to save lost souls. This word and you have become one. You remember that for more than 50 years after Christ's death, the written word was known only in a very limited way. The New Testament wasn't brought together until the middle of the second century. The words that Jesus spoke were not yet written. It was the spoken word, but he was in it. They were a part of Christ, and they breathed Christ's nature. Remember, the word of God liveth and abideth. All right, speak the word, and it will live in the lives of men who hear you. He said, I watch over my word. He will watch over the word you preach and teach. Jesus said, if my words are living in you, and you are speaking them, I will live in them as they pass from your lips. The word of Christ becomes a living thing in your lips. Speak the word fearlessly. Let the word live in you gloriously and richly.